I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Joyce Rosario joins me now. She is the associate curator of the Push Festival, a role she's had since 2013. I'll talk to her about her work, her collaboration with the other folks who curate the festival, and just what her job entails. We'll also look at the 2017 lineup, the 13th annual Push Festival, which features artists from 11 countries. I'll get Joyce to tell us about what's hot this year, as very often these shows sell out well in advance. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information. Joyce Rosario has been active in the performing arts scene for well over 10 years and joined Push after 3 years as executive director of New Works. Before that, she was executive director for Made in BC Dance on Tour. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Joyce Rosario. Ms. Rosario, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So the role of associate curator, I guess you and Norman, and then there are other folks with you, but you work closely with Norman, and a lot of the shows that we see in the program, you've had a say into bringing them here and deciding what comes here. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. You're totally correct. Norman Armour, who's our founder and currently the artistic and executive director. So we've been working together for, fourth mm-hmm. Festival working together. And there have been other associates and senior curators. And it's a real, it's a real dream job. You kind of talked a little bit about the jobs that I've had before Push. And really, being invited to join the team to work with Norman, it's with really kind of combining all of my favorite things about all the jobs that I've had before, which was, being directly linked to seeing the work and a part of bringing that to audiences here in Vancouver. Between Norman and I, we split the traveling. We travel to see as much as we can live, locally across Canada and internationally. It's fascinating when I started working with Norman. One of the things that he showed me was his log, the log that he keeps of right. all the shows that we see, just kind of keep track, refresh yeah. our memories. I took a look at what we saw together last year, and between the two of us, there were probably 300 things that we had seen.
Really? Yeah.
And you think about it, with only 365 days in a year, that between of us, that's 300. So it's kind of like every other night there's something.
And so the travel involved, that takes you all over the place, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, and we share that. We kind of, there are a couple of festivals that we like to go to regularly because, their aesthetic is similar to ours, or we work in similar ways. Places like the Fuse Box Festival in Austin, Texas, or the TBA Festival in Portland, Oregon, for North American stuff. It's a really cool gig, I have to say.
Yeah. So we're talking a day after the festival started mm-hmm. in 2017. Are there shows that are already sold out?
It's funny, you're just catching me right after our Tuesday production meeting, and one of the things that is really important to clarify is that things are rarely, we love to say sold out because, it's exciting, right? It means that a show is doing well, it's selling really well, but in a place like Vancouver, people hear sold out and then they decide to sit home in their couch or simply do something else, right? And, my hot tip for anyone who is looking to get into a show is, there's usually always something at the door,
Yeah.
You just show up at the door, and usually there's somebody who hasn't picked up tickets or things that get released at the last minute. So don't fret. That'll be the case for the show that we just opened last night, Macbeth, at the Vancouver Playhouse that we're presenting with the Vancouver Opera and the Italian Cultural Center. It's a production from South Africa. That's a radical, radical adaptation of Verdi's Macbeth, and it's stunning, stunning. And I think that's going to be a real hot ticket this week.
Yeah. So when you're programming the festival, do you look to previous festivals? And I'm asking this because I'm curious to know what or what you might have a sense of what'll do well with audiences in this town.
Yeah, that's a really good question as well. And certainly there comes a point for myself as a curator, this moment where, like, I almost can't see the forest or the trees. Like, I've been, you know, in deep with these works that I know we're going to present. And then that's when, you know, it's really interesting to sit around with my colleagues in communications and marketing, you know, to develop the copy that we use in our program guide. And ultimately, those are the things that, that audiences will be connecting with in order to decide on the shows. It's kind of a different take that Norman and I have, you know. It's, it's relationships that we've built with artists. It is knowing about a particular practice of an artist that we've been following. So they're very different perspectives, I would say, you know, as a curator, and then that next step of getting it to an audience, you know. And communications is so important, like the ability to chat with people like yourself to kind of talk about the work. Because largely what we present at PUSH, some of it is really difficult to describe. It really relies on your willingness to be curious, to go on a little adventure, to experience something new. I think that that's ultimately what I hope that we try and instill with the work that we do, the work that you do, you know, like...
I've talked to people over the years that have come through town for PUSH, and I'm because I haven't seen the show, obviously, or I see clips maybe online, or I'll read reviews, and it's often it's just easier for when I'm talking to the guests just to say, okay, tell me what the show's about, because a lot of it does defy definition, defy explanation. But I mean, I've been, when I go to shows. And I think of, you know, what I've read in the guide, say, and I sit there, and it's, you know, it's a fun night. It'll move you more often than not, and it's just an exciting evening out, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an exciting evening out. I think it's an interesting way of engaging with you know, what's happening with the world, because artists always have and. Interesting perspective and way of tackling issues. And there's certainly a lot of that in our program this year, you know, works like Every Brilliant Thing that deal with depression. And the main performer in it is actually, you know, wasn't originally an actor. He's actually a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And he's the guy delivering this material about really serious issues.
Yeah. I saw that thing, I guess HBO did a thing on that. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the more moving. I mean, and I watched it on television. I can't imagine what it'll be like in a space, you know, with an audience and with what's the guy's name? Johnny Donahue.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. No. And you're totally right. And I think that's the thing. That it's the conundrum working in the live performing arts is that it really relies. What's so special about it is that kind of ephemeral live experience, and.
Yeah,
you get a little bit of that from watching the HBO special.
Yeah,
absolutely, and that particular work and the medium translates quite well to that. But you know, there's something about getting out of your house and sitting around with other people and connecting together through what you're seeing in the room. You know?
Yeah, and you just have to check whatever misconceptions you might have about a show, and just go in and you know, spend the hour and a half, 2 hours, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just and because you'll get something out of it that you wouldn't have expected standing in line, say, waiting to get in.
Agreed.
And that's one of the great things about PUSH is you can, you know, pick a venue, pick a night, and go down there and just check it out, right? And just sit through it, and something amazing will happen. I mean, I sound like I'm working for you guys, but I'm not. But
you know what? I'm so glad that you see it that way. I mean, that's like exactly the kind of approach that I recommend to people in terms of, like, when people are trying to decide what to see. It's funny, I'll often have conversations with people where, you know, they ask for top five lists.
Yeah.
And I'll go through all these things, and they'll be like, oh, but I'm not available that night.
Yeah.
So what I've learned to do is sometimes start with, well, what night are you thinking of coming out?
Yeah. Or else you hear, you know, like it's dance or something like that, or you hear it's improv, or, you know, and then it automatically turns people off. But I mean, you really have to just, you know, just not think about those things that you know what you don't like or what you, because I find that there was one thing I saw years ago and I can't remember it now, but the name of it. But I mean, I thought it was going to be dull, or I thought.
Well, what was it? Describe it to me.
It was the Chris Abraham piece, Seeds.
Like, okay.
Because I thought, you know, reading about it, I thought, well, you know, it's court transcripts really just being recited. But then you go to the thing, and it's such an immersive experience because there's visuals, and the acting is top notch, you know, the performers are top notch. I mean, and it just blew my mind that this thing about genetically modified crops really, you know, made me think days after of you know, issues that I saw on the show and issues that I encounter in the wider world.
Exactly, I think that's exactly, you know, one of the reasons why we do what we do and why we bring in that kind of work, because I think, especially these days, there's just so much information out there and you're just bombarded with it, and a lot of it you're being sold to. But when you're coming to the theater, it's I mean, yes, we're absolutely trying to sell you tickets, but once that transaction is complete, you know, once you're kind of at the theater, once those lights go down and the show begins, it's a different, entirely different proposition altogether.
Yeah. And in your years in Push, have you seen just the growth of it year to year?
It's interesting because I started at Push in its 10th year.
Mm-hmm.
And previous to that, you know, Push started the year that I graduated from university. So, you know, I was kind of one of the early audience members and have been following and tracking the work, and it's where I was inspired. It's one of those things that kind of kept me in working in the performing arts, because it was something that was just so inspiring to see the work. But yeah, absolutely. There's certainly, in that first 10 years, there's been growth. And even more so now. You know, it's really interesting to me in this past week to be, you know, on public transit and overhear a conversation, people talking about Push, and I'm trying to take a look, and they're not people that I know, you know, and that's super exciting, you know, when you hear the people in the grocery line behind you talking about something. And so, yeah, in that sense, I feel like there's a bit more recognition.
I noticed people are talking about it. I mean, when I first started having people from Push on maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have to explain what the festival is. And then now people will ask me, says, oh, or what do you think of the shows for Push? Because they picked up the guide somewhere at a coffee shop. And, you know, people are conscious about these things. Now people that, and you know, a lot of friends of mine aren't theater goers regularly. So it's fascinating to see how this community has taken to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, what's it like for you, Joyce, when you see a show, say, out of town that you want to bring? Is there a lot of negotiation? Is there a lot of convincing of the company or the performers to come to Vancouver?
No, I think you know, because of all the work that's been done by the festival, there's definitely like a recognition internationally. You know, Norman and I, we receive lots and lots and lots of invitations and requests from people, from artists who want to come here to be at the festival, to be in Vancouver, to be part of that kind of conversation, really. So, you know, more of the bigger issues are about, you know, availability of performers. Is, you know, can we afford to bring the freight over? Can we find the right partners so that we can be working together to bring the piece to town for whatever reason, whether it's financial or because we need a particular kind of venue? You know, a lot of the works that we do are kind of, some of the works, not all of the works, are kind of out of the box, you know. There have been years that we've closed down a city block in order to stage a performance. So there's quite a lot of logistical considerations.
and that speaks to the venues, because, I mean, I look at the guide and I'll be like, oh, I didn't know that was a place where, you know, you could watch something. And you guys do such a remarkable job in bringing a lot of these spaces to life again.
That's nice to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to think that that's something that we do for sure.
Yeah. What the other thing, I talked to Jordan Tannehill recently about his work with Push, and the thing I realized as I was talking to him is that, because, you know, we all know of him, and we read about, you know, we read the Globe and Mail, he's often mentioned as one of the great voices in Canadian theater today, and I asked him how many times he's been produced here, and surprisingly, I think Concord Floral will be the second show. Yeah.
That's right.
And so Push is such a marvelous way. I mean, I mentioned Seeds, and Chris Abraham is another great star in Central Canada. Push is a wonderful way for us in this town, especially if we don't get to travel out of say, this area, to see the rest of Canada. And I mean, I had Stuart Legere last year, and it was fun talking to him about what's happening on the East Coast, let alone what's happening in Quebec and Toronto and other parts of Central Canada. I mean, that's one of the things that you guys do so well. And is that something that you guys have focused on, say, in terms of bringing other Canadian voices to this festival?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the reasons we invited Jordan to work with us over a 2-year period was to kind of, in a way, open that channel to a conversation with Toronto. You know, I think I don't know if you're, originally from Vancouver. I am, but you know, there's always this kind of long-standing beef, East Coast, West Coast, Toronto versus Vancouver, and always a little bit of a, what's the word? You know, the mentality sometimes is Toronto is the center of Canada and the center of the universe even sometimes, and that's just simply not the case, and it's kind of more fun to be in dialogue with one another.
Yeah.
And it's been a real pleasure, actually, to get to know Jordan and to work with him and to just kind of dispel some of those silly myths that you hear about the East Coast versus the West Coast.
Yeah. I guess this goes into the work that you've done, and you will do, I guess, February 4th, there's going to be a meetup in terms of diversity, because we've heard a lot in this town about the lack of diversity, say, in the theater community. That's something that you're going to have a conversation about February 4th, right?
February 4th, yeah. It's kind of a continuation of a conversation that was started in Toronto last August. I was invited to join a group of artistic leaders from all over the world, really. And this was hosted by Ravi Jain at Why Not.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a 4-day intensive in 4 different venues in Toronto, all about artistic leadership, a lot of the issues that we face and things we want to do and change. And, you know, I just thought it would be a great opportunity to extend that and continue it in Vancouver. And it so happened that Ravi is going to be in town that week, and so it just kind of all fell into place. And I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really thrilled that people are noticing that we're doing it and are excited about it. And
So we're you're obviously well aware of the discussions that people in the theater community have had about diversity in this town. A lot of us are watching movies right now because we're running up to the Academy Awards, and diversity in Hollywood is always something that's often discussed. Why do you think it is that in the artistic community there has been a lack of, say, representation of minorities, but not just minorities, but a lack in reflecting the community at large.
It's a longer conversation. It's not an easy one to. Well, maybe it is easy. People, quite frankly, the easiest way to answer that is, I think, people in power, people that hold power, are afraid to take risks. And I think we all have a role that we play in, whether we're aware or not, of perpetuating that. Yeah. And I think one of the things that was really excellent about being part of that conversation in Toronto for this gen that we're going to continue on February 4th is really taking a look at what some of those things are that perpetuate that, and what we can do to take action so that we're not. And it's really about taking a stand. It's really about looking outside. It's about holding different values than what's been valued before. I think there's a reason that I work at Push, that I've chosen to work at Push and not any other organization.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the values that we hold here. And I think you see that in what we present and how we're approaching it. I mean, we're by no means perfect, but I think the conversation is very alive here. Norman and I have amazing conversations, challenging conversations about these issues. And the fact that we can have that conversation as colleagues who really respect one another, I think that's really important. I wish there was more of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about risk that, say, producers make in Hollywood, if you will. But, I mean, audiences are savvy enough, aren't they? And I guess they don't like to be condescended to I guess taken for granted or have it decided for them what they might like. And I think if you just put the work out there, people will respond to it however way they want. And usually it's more favorably than not, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of work out there. And, you know, one of the things is the promotion of it, right? Like, you see, there's a lot of great work out there that exists. Like, for example, the thing that I always bust out in terms of movies is, you know, the last Air Canada flight that I was on for work was like an 8-hour flight. And there I was looking through the movies, and everything that was in the new releases section was like not good on many levels. They were just crap movies, and it was all the same people and all the same kind of stories.
Yeah.
And it was kind of going into the other section in the Air Canada films with the independent films, and there were just some like real jewels there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to be doing the work of looking harder. We have to be doing the work of, you know, when you do find it, to share it.
And so I began the conversation, Joyce, talking about your job. And so it's a year-round thing for you guys, for you especially. I guess programming for 2018, is that something you're already thinking about?
Yes, we're well in the thick of programming for 2018. Yeah.
Well, we've just started the 2017 festival, as I've told you already, what I've heard, I mean, a lot of people are excited with a lot of the shows that you guys are bringing in here. And so I appreciate your time. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks for all of the work that you do. It's amazing. I'm looking forward to having some time to listen to some of the interviews that you've done.
And we'll have you on again next year.
Amazing. I'd love that.
Yeah. Pushfestival.ca is the website for tickets and information. Joyce Rosario is the associate curator of the Push Festival, and she joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.